So, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Behind the Brain podcast. And today we have my lovely client on, Nina. How are we doing, Nina? How are you feeling? So Nina was in this morning at 6 a.m. doing one of her sessions that she does a week. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very good, thank you, James.
Oh, good, good. So you're not aching. You're feeling all right.
Not yet. That's usually tomorrow.
It's always, yeah. Okay, fair enough. 2 days, one day after, and then you'll probably be aching by Thursday comes around. So me and Nina in our deep chats, as always, and Nina is still relatively quite a new client, been working with each other roughly for about 2 months now. So there's loads I'm still learning about Nina. She was talking about something the other day about neuro-linguistic. Oh, forgot the last neuro-linguistic programming. That is it. Yeah, that is it. Right. Yeah, God, I got it. I said it to you before and I had it right, and then I've just cracked under pressure. And yes. Nina was essentially talking about how she did this program years ago. How many? What age was this?
I was 39.
Yeah, so quite a long time ago. And God, that sounded cheeky. Sorry.
Not quite my half-life ago, but...
I didn't mean to. Sorry, Nina. And I thought... We were just talking about this, and I thought this would be an amazing thing to talk about. So, Nina, let's start at before you decided to do that program. What was going on?
Well, I didn't really decide. I'd got this lovely friend. I still have her. And she went and did... a talk or listen to a talk with somebody, can't remember who, and found out about this neuro-linguistic programming. And I had just finished my in-service degree training, so fair enough, I was kind of fed up. I didn't want to do any more learning for the time being. I'd done my bit. And she was so enthusiastic about it. And she went off and did the full practitioner training. And oh my goodness, did I hear, never heard the end of it. Oh, it's amazing. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. You've got to do it.
Yeah.
And so I did. It wasn't cheap, but I did. And we went to London. I think it was probably one weekend a month for about 5 months. And I was just blown away by it. It was absolutely fantastic. It's really amazing.
What did it cover? What did you learn?
We learned, essentially for me, it was the user's manual for the brain, I like to call it.
Mm.
Because, you know, and one of the points they made was we're born and we've got this incredible software between our ears and this wonderful, like, $1 billion body. You know, and nobody tells you how to use it. Mm. You just come into the world and get on with it. But you get a new phone and you get manuals online. You've got all sorts of help, haven't you now?
Yeah.
If you think about it, there's always something. And the software is nowhere near as sophisticated as what's going on between our ears.
Of course not. What did that... So after you've done this course, talk to me a little bit more about that course, sort of what you learn.
So it was how the brain operates and how other people's brains operate. And surprise, surprise, they're not always one and the same. And it was just, I spent the entire course saying, I know this, but why don't I know it? It was really, really odd. If you think about it, all the information going into our brain is through our five senses.
Yeah.
Somebody likened it to being in a room with several sort of silk curtains and trying to build a model that you're seeing through these silk curtains with a model that somebody else is building outside. And I think that's quite a helpful metaphor, really, just to explain. And there were various things like, you know, people, it's become much more mainstream. You know, when I was doing it in 1993, it was really cutting edge. Nobody had, well, there'd been a bit of bad press about it because people had grabbed hold of it and were starting to use it for sales and things. And, you know, yes, because it works. You know, the accusation of it was manipulative. Well, that's really down to the individual, how they're going to use it. For me, it was life-changing, absolutely life-changing. I've never been the same since. Some might say that's a bad thing. I don't know.
No. Like I was saying to you just before this podcast, Nina is someone, if you, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, if you have any issues in your life or any problems, you are very quick to try and sort of come up with a solution for that. And sometimes that means you will get external help. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Like, and a lot of people don't do that, you know. And, you know,
and I get it. Yeah. I get why they don't, actually, because it can be very scary. And I remember the first time I did some work, in fact, with my trainer, and it was really, really scary. But at the end of it, it was amazing.
Not me, by the way. She loved every second of our first session.
NLP.
So when you say this changed your life, let's go into that a little bit. So you've done this course and you've learned loads, right? And you've sort of, I suppose, unlocked certain feelings and emotions of actually how to respond to things and how your brain works and how, like we talk about, stuff like this about your sort of sense of power and control. And so what changed in your life then?
It was very much being quieter in my own head and understanding how to be in the world. It wasn't, I remember one of the quotes they said, or one of the things they said was, you know, if somebody's easily upset and because they're sensitive, is it because they're sensitive or is it because they're easily upset? And I think I was one of those. I was easily upset by other people. And so they would say something to me and I'd get all huffy and, you know, and find it really difficult to have to process it. Whereas once I'd learned that we're all in our own model of the world, because that's one of the things they talk about, we're all in our own model. And understanding that other people have different models of the world is hugely empowering, because the way they're seeing things and the way I'm seeing things or feeling or hearing things is going to be inevitably different to them. And you know, so what might upset them or seem to be okay with them, it's going to have perhaps the opposite effect on me because of my life history and my memories and my beliefs and all these filters that actually we strain the sensory input of a daily life through these filters. And what we get out is minimal sensory impact, basically, because we can't pay attention to every darn thing that is going on in the world. We go mad, essentially. So our brains get very good at paying attention and learning what to pay attention to. And it's that old thing of you don't know what you're missing. You might be missing huge amounts. I mean, I'm aware of the clock ticking, but, you know, only because I've paid attention to it now. If you pay attention to things, then you start to notice them. But you might not in a day-to-day environment pay attention to something, so you're going to just end up missing all this stuff.
Yeah, cruising through life, sort of like, yeah, it's like you're on, but you're not very diligent of what's actually really going on. So when you're saying about how the world, how people see different things, you're obviously talking about different perspectives. Like if me and you look out the window, we're going to notice different things, you know. Would you say before? And this is sort of something I like to use. You've got people with shit tinted spectacles, and then you've got people with rose tinted spectacles, right? Prior to this course, were yours obviously the shit tinted spectacles to a degree on that sort of negative side of most things? And then obviously you did this course and you realized that you control those feelings and emotions and things got better.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, I can't tell you how much I learned. It was just, it was amazing and incredibly exciting to be involved with it. and just to keep going. And I have to say, I didn't do one course. I trained, I did another one, and then became an assistant on various courses. And ultimately, I trained to be an NLP trainer.
Wow. It's funny, isn't it? How that grabs you, something like that, because you see that belief and you just want to help other people then, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. It took me a while because I was quite judgmental of people in NLP, and sometimes people who get it, they've become sort of evangelistic, is that the right word? Evangelical about it. Mm. And they can really ram it down other people's throats.
Yeah.
And I think I did that with my own poor children. But I have to say, they often quote back to me various things and think that it has helped them through life, really, to see things differently. Because, you know, we've got those three modes of input.
They're all doing well. By the way, I've coached all of Nina's children at some point, which is interesting. And actually, it's your son, Philip. Philly G, who got us in contact, right?
Well, bullied me.
bullied you, but he means well. And now look at you. You're in the gym lifting weights, doing
getting muscles.
Press-ups and stuff, getting muscles, exactly. Because, you're aware of the clock, but you are aware that there's work still to be done, like we talk about all the time. Look, actually, what's quite cool, I didn't know that you became sort of an assistant and actually wanted to coach it. So you, obviously, we're going to go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. How was you feeling before that course? So obviously you saw your friend, and I imagine you saw a change in her, and it's like she could tell you how good this course was and it doesn't matter, but you actually, I imagine, saw an internal change of her, and then it was like, actually, I'm actually maybe bought into it and opened your eyes to it. Well, I forgot where I was going to go with that question now. But how did it affect you?
Well, I can tell you that really clearly, because I think I had a lot of, I suppose now people talk much more about anxiety.
Mm.
And I think I had a lot of anxiety that I wasn't really aware of. And I used to wake up in the night and feel dread.
Really?
Dread with a capital D. And it was this dread of what? I didn't know what, but it was dread. And I remember being on the course and waking up in the middle of the night, and this feeling of exhilaration and excitement shot through me and made my toes curl. I think it's the only time I was ever aware of my toes curling, you know, because full of tingles. It was the most amazing sensation.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think for the first time I thought, I don't have to put up with what's going on in my head, between my ears.
You are in control.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredibly powerful, because otherwise you're at life's mercy, aren't you? Whatever's thrown at you, you're kind of, you know, you don't feel often, this is what people say, they don't feel any control. I don't think I had any control at all. Or had any feelings of control.
External factors sort of rule your life. You know, we were talking about today about, you know, sort of, I've heard it a few times, I don't know the correct percentages, but I always go with 10% of life is what it is, and 90% of it is how you respond to it. So if you're someone with low self-esteem, anxiety, you know, you're getting poor sleep as well, you know, the key to recovery, you know, you potentially choosing poorer nutrition choices as well, that's going to fall into then probably a lack of activity, you know, you're going to be in that negative feedback loop all the time. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not going to be a good place for anyone. I do think that a lot of people obviously have that in this day and age. So after you've done this course and you started coaching and stuff like that, what other things changed in your life?
I lost weight. I didn't really manage it completely, because consistently I lost it for about a decade and slowly put it on again.
Yeah.
So from 40 to 50, I lost weight.
Yeah.
And then from, but I never gained as much back.
Mm.
And then from 50 until 58, when my husband died, Peter, yeah. I was very stable. And then when he died, the old emotional eating came right back with a pack-ated. To be honest, I self-medicated with chocolate, and I know I did. And I did, and I did it consciously almost, because I was aware of what I was doing. And I just thought, you know what? Whatever it takes.
You're mourning, aren't you? And I was just glad
it wasn't something that gave me a hangover.
Very important.
I mean, it did give me a hangover my belt, but...
very important question. What was your favourite chocolate? Good choice. Classic. They used to have the best adverts as well, didn't they? The Crunch adverts. They were brilliant.
I can remember driving home one night and it was dark, and I couldn't bear going into the house when it was dark on my own, you know. And I can still remember it. It was like I was driving along and I suddenly remembered I had this Crunchy in the fridge. Like this beam of light.
Oh, wow.
Cartoon, like, just into my mouth. And, I was never without a Crunchy after that one.
Wow. So, like, at moments like that in your life, which is quite, you know, very sad, how did NLP help with sort of things like that? So I imagine, obviously, you mourned, which, and like we spoke about this morning, obviously you was very sad about that. But that is yet again, that element of how you respond to something, isn't it? And when did that sort of kick into place again for you, as in, like, right, I need to take control over what's going on?
Well, I think what was incredibly beneficial for me was that by then I'd had 20 years of self-improvement, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of loss in my life, you know, and what you understand with NLP is that when something happens, it isn't that one thing that's triggering it. It triggers what's gone before.
Mm.
And so I was incredibly grateful that I was able to grieve for Peter, and Peter alone, not my granddad, my granny, my mum, my brother, my nephew, my friend, all the way through, that it was because I dealt with that, you know. It was Peter I was grieving for, and I think I would have not managed so well as I did, and I'm not saying I managed particularly well. I granted myself permission to cry whenever I wanted to and do whatever I needed to, and to say yes to everything.
What,
so just, as a result, I went to Zimbabwe twice.
Cool.
Went on a safari and went to Lake Kariba.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. But I think, you know, if I hadn't have given myself that kind of background, or hadn't have had that sort of background, you know, Zimbabwe is quite a scary... country for me. Well, I went with my family, well, Joe, my son, but even so, it's quite different out there, you know. It was lovely, it was amazing, it was one of the best holidays of my life. I loved it.
Oh, brilliant. With NLP now, because I imagine, like, we've spoke about this before, about, you know, your belief system, sense of power and control, like internal, external stuff. Do you feel that has gone on to other practices, would you say? Would you say that's something, I don't know how much you know about CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, I don't really know much about that.
That's quite a, what NLP
stands. I'm very pleased that it does help a lot of people. Yeah.
It sounds very solution-based. Would you say that it's that? It's very, like, I suppose there's different type of therapies, and there's all these ones that suit everyone, and it's different. But I feel like the NLP is very solution based of, like, hey, this is the issue, this is what's going on, let's sort that out. Would you say that's
similar? I liked it because it was quite practical, because there are lots of techniques in it which can give you different perspectives.
Yeah.
purely by moving spatially on the floor. You know, so if you stand in one position, you can get a different perspective by moving into a different position. I'm not explaining this very well, but supposing I had conflict with someone, without them being present, I can go and stand and look at myself in my mind's eye as if I am that person. And it is incredibly powerful to get somebody else's perspective. I remember having an issue when I was on one of the courses with this another participant. And I did this particular process. And I stood on the position of her, and I realized she wasn't even aware. This was what came to me. She wasn't even aware that I was in the room, really. Mm. I had an issue with her ignoring me, and it wasn't that at all. She wasn't doing it consciously. She just wasn't not aware of me.
Mm.
And I think this comes from the fact that our brains are receiving so much of this information that we are not able to process consciously, obviously, for obvious reasons, what I've said to you before. Doesn't mean to say it's not going in. But when you go and do something like that, you get these understandings because you're tapping into that part of your brain that is aware of these things. Mm. And so as a result of that, I stopped angsting about this particular participant and just thought, oh, fine, fair enough.
Yeah, that's sort of like a level of empathy. He's not
being snobby.
Yeah, I suppose that's like a level of empathy to a degree, isn't it? You've gone into her shoes, seen it from her perspective, and she's not actually doing it on purpose, even though her body language may give off that, but it actually there probably wasn't intent behind it. Because you think how many times, right, this is the classic case, you send a text to someone and it sounds completely different to how you would say it in person, right? Do you know what I mean? Yes. It's sort of something very similar. Like you may write something and it may sound aggressive or passive aggressive, should we say. But it's actually not. If you're in that person, you go, hey, mate, could you do me that favor? Like you'd say it in a nicer way, you'd use expressions, you know, and it'd be completely different. So that's sort of like a level of empathy before that. I don't even know when that became a word, I suppose.
I think it's really, really difficult with texts and emails, because depending on what your perception of the person's intent is, you can read it out in a really bad tonality.
Yeah.
But is actually not particularly useful for the communication.
Yeah, and it's not actually representing what that person's like, because you may know them the way they are, and it's like, actually, they don't speak like this. So if you're unfortunate to receive texts from me, you know that I'm blunt, but you know I don't mean it in a nasty way. I just get straight to the point, and it's always usually about 5 words, and that's it. If it's longer than 5 words, I'll give you a voice note. So now we're... obviously, you've got these tools, essentially. That's what I look at that. You've got tools and access to certain parts of your brain and how to respond to certain things that are going on. How is that sort of, how does that treat you in this day and age?
I'm really peaceful. Sorry about the dog.
That's all right.
I'm really peaceful. You know, we've had upsets in the family, and I'm able to, I'm not saying instantaneously and even in the moment, but I'm not held to ransom with them, because over time I can be more dispassionate about things and hopefully more useful to those that need the help. Because what you don't want to do, if somebody's in a bad place, having a bad time, you don't want to pour emotional fuel on the fire.
No, because you'll say things that you don't really mean, and sometimes yet again say something a bit out of context, really, won't you? So in all, you just sort of, you understand how to respond to situations better in this day and age.
Well, hopefully. I'm sure I get it wrong all the time, because we're only human. You know, this dear friend who got me into NLP, she says, you know, it doesn't give you a license to walk on water. And it's true. we're only human. I mean, she's going through some stuff herself at the moment again, and she's dealing with it, but it you know, it doesn't make it any less hurtful in the initial stages.
You're not a robot after you know this stuff.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I think, you know, if I ruled the world, James, I would teach everybody something similar. And I'm so glad it's getting into the mainstream now, and that we're talking about mental health issues a lot more, because it is so important that people are not at the mercies of their sometimes somewhat unhelpful brains.
Yeah. As we talk about this stuff in sessions all the time. It's about we're the best at creating barriers for ourselves, aren't we? We're the best at telling us, well, we're the best at putting ourselves down. Like we said earlier, if you put all the people you love and care about in a room with you, they'd probably say a lot of things about you that you probably don't even think you are. Do you know what I mean? You think how much that holds people back in life, because they actually, one, don't believe in themselves, but they also care about what other people think to a degree. Like, for me, that's just one of the biggest barriers I sometimes have with clients and trying to get them to overcome that. It's bloody hard.
Yeah.
But you've done the right plan for that. And that's how you know how to tackle that. Sorry, what was you going to say?
Well, I was just thinking as you were speaking, and I was listening totally to what you were saying.
It's okay. You know how to unlock the brain of the part of the brain of multitasking.
I was just thinking that this has been, working with you has been an amazing learning curve, because I think my biggest fear of coming to see you was that I was going to be beasted somehow. And I was going to, you know, hurt and be aching, and now I'm, as the trust is growing, that I trust you, you know, it's quite phenomenal that my horizons are stretching, because really for me, I've never liked physical activity for whatever reason. I've always been really strong until recently. And it, slowly, you know, certainly lockdown didn't help when I hurt my shoulder. Suddenly my strength deserted me. Whereas now, after, well, as you say, 2 months, and it's only twice a week, because you very kindly don't expect any more of me yet. And I know that's to come.
September's...
But, you know, I was so pleased with myself. I hoisted 5 bags of 60 litres of compost out of my car the other day. And that was the sort of thing I always used to be able to do.
Yeah.
And garden. And it fell off quite dramatically and was quite scary, actually.
And that's the, again, like, there's two paths to that. You can accept that, or you can go, I can do something, something can change. And this is where, like, humans become unstuck and we just sort of accept the decay, don't we? Because, really morbid fact, we're all dying. We're all doing that at the same time, aren't we? But you, yet again, which I think NLP's had a lot to say, and your son, who's very pushy, Philly G, you've essentially gone, something needs to change, I need to do more. And that's sort of where you've sought a personal trainer out. And that's the brilliant thing about, like, I love those stories, honestly. When people translate lifting weights, going to the gym, to everyday tasks, that's brilliant. That's, to me, that's health and fitness, you know. You did something that you thought you couldn't do. That's what I love about when people lift weights. You're capable, you know?
Yes, definitely.
So what? So with that in mind, how do you feel NLP has worked with what we're doing?
Well, you talk a lot about beliefs, don't you? That really is so core, and I'm very aware that I had some very limiting beliefs around exercise being good for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm perfectly able to accept exercise is really good for other people, but for me it wasn't particularly useful, because I think I just haven't gone about it the right way.
And that's now most, that's most people though. Remember that. That's most people, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, Phil says to me now, how's it going at the gym? And I'm like, I love it. And he says, do you really? I really, really do.
Oh, brilliant. That puts a smile on my face. And to say, like I said earlier, Nina does bloody 2 6 a.m. sessions a week, which not a lot of people.
70. Go on, you can say it.
No, you're not 70 yet, are you?
I am.
Oh, you are 70 now. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you went away last. Yeah. Right, got it. Yeah, my bad. Because, sorry, I keep talking to Nina about being 70. And she says, no, I'm not. I'm 69. My bad.
I'm 70 now.
there we go. We've crossed the bridge. So if anyone's listening to this, when it comes to, like, if they've got limiting, so you were saying, actually, I'll come back to that in a minute. You were talking about beliefs. This is one of the hardest things when it comes to personal training, is like, I see the belief in you. I see the belief in some of my older clients, some of my newer clients, some of my younger clients, right? I see a belief of what they can do. But like I say to you, sometimes the hardest part of that is getting them to see that. So that's why I suppose me and you talk about, have deep chats about beliefs and stuff like that. Anyway, so if someone's listening to this, what would you advise them? What can they take away from you? That sound rude. Most people that are going to listen to this podcast are going to be younger than 70. And like I say to any listener, guys, I've worked with, I've had 80-year-olds actually I've worked with, and it's actually phenomenal working with that demographic, because you guys have done life twice over, actually, from in my age, for me. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot to learn from like that age category. So great people to work with. So what would you advise, say, younger people? What do you think that they could take away from this podcast from you?
Well, I would really, really advise people, go and sort out your stuff. Find somebody you can relate to, and go and research and open your mind to all these things and the possibilities. Don't think that nothing can change, because it can. You can change. You can change your mindset. You can change the way you see the world. It takes work. I'm not going to say it's not easy. You know, it's easy, because it takes dedication. Well, maybe for some people it is easy.
Yeah.
Why am I saying that? There you go. That's a belief, isn't it?
Yeah.
It might be the easiest thing in the world for some people. But I've always felt, you know, to be aware, conscious. I think we owe it to ourselves as human beings to become more conscious. Not to run on the programs that were put in by parents, teachers, society. And Lord knows, you know, we're getting enough of that now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. You know, people, I'm already educating my grandchildren to the fact that what they read or hear on YouTube or Facebook isn't necessarily true.
Brilliant. You're going to be a great grandma, aren't you?
I don't know about that. I'm a bit grumpy and a bit fierce.
I don't. Granny. Well, I don't get to see that, so that's all right.
I do it with a smile on my face, so they don't mind so much.
Yeah. And is there any, because I know you did this NLP course years ago. Is that thing still going?
Oh yeah, there's still courses running all the time.
Oh, brilliant. I didn't know that, because I'm obviously doing something. I imagine it's quite similar, but not, it's different, but it's very similar, actually.
Because all my children have done an NLP course of one sort of level or another. And Jenny, my daughter, she's had trainings at work, and she said, it's really interesting. There's a lot of NLP in it, but it's not mentioned.
Yeah, it's just elements, isn't it? That's sort of...
Yeah, and it's become so much more mainstream, really so much more mainstream. It was, I can't tell you, you know, well, how many years ago is it now? 30 years ago. It was just fresh and new. I mean, even then it had been going a while, but it was just so radical to my thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brilliant. And that's great to see that obviously it's more accessible. And even if have people, if even if have people ripped it off a bit and have written their own courses.
Oh, I don't wouldn't mind that in the least. If they're
yeah,
the good
it's one of those things where actually, it, hopefully, still people have learned a load from it.
Definitely.
So, Nina, thank you for coming on the show today. You've been an amazing guest. Thank you for talking about some of your life experiences and neuro-linguistic programming. God, that's a mouthful, isn't it? What was that like? What was that like when everyone saw the change in you? I've just done neuro. How many times did you have to say that?
I didn't talk about it a great deal, I have to admit, until I started training it.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you understood more in depth then when you did that? You really got understood the pillars of it.
There's nothing like teaching something, is there, to really consolidate your learning?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah. Anyway, Nina, thank you. And,
always a pleasure to talk to you, Joe. Particularly when you're not saying, go on, get on with it then. Do your press ups.
God, I'm going red. Right, I see. Bye. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to another episode of Behind the Brain podcast. Today we have my lovely client on, Nina. She's quite a new client of mine, but she's absolutely brilliant. And I always take a lot away when working with an older demographic because they've been through life, they've done more things than you. So if you are someone that does have older people around you to a degree, embrace them and absorb stuff from them as well. And have a quick shout as well. So if you like these podcasts, please do share them and get the message out there. One, it helps me know that I'm actually doing something good. And two, like you think about how some of these relatable podcasts, how these podcasts have been relatable to you. Well, guess what? There's a lot of other people that these podcasts help. So without further ado, enjoy.